it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
First and 10 from the 27 of the Bears. McCarthy out of the shotgun. Blitz is on. It's picked up. McCarthy loops it to Jones. Touchdown! He's showtime! And the Minnesota Vikings have taken a one-point lead.
Thank you to the Vikings Radio Network for that. Aaron Jones, 27-yard touchdown reception. Minnesota, as you heard, takes the lead there. The two-point conversion was good, so they go up by a field goal. They would ultimately win 27-24. They trailed by 11 points going into the fourth quarter. And so for the Bears, they're kind of left to pick up the pieces here a little bit, Pearl, on a debut that between head coach and quarterback, Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson, that was very much up and down. Looked great early. That first drive was like, all right, maybe Chicago's got something cooking here. And then adjustments started happening and the Bears sort of fell apart.
Oh, yeah. They started to really lose the battle in the trenches badly. Not just a little bit. They couldn't create any space for their running back, and they could not protect Caleb Williams, which is partly on Caleb Williams, too. Caleb Williams has got to get rid of the ball. The whole thing sort of fell apart. What was it? Sort of 10 drives without much to show for it. That got really bad. And then at the last drive, though, we saw Caleb Williams looked awesome again. So maybe he needs like a, you know how young quarterbacks need a 2-minute drill to just get out of their head and just run it?
Yep.
Feels like Caleb's just got to let it play looser, not press as much, because after that first 15 plays, it looked like he was a little late on a lot of throws. The pressure was definitely getting to him. He took some massive hits.
And also, like, the way that the Bears even got staked to a little bit bigger lead was because of a pick six on J.J. McCarthy. Yep. So it was a nice drive at first for Caleb, then a pick six that helps the Bears to stake them to a lead. But then that fourth quarter, things just flipped on their head. As you said, you know, Caleb didn't have a lot of time. He was getting pressures, getting flushed out of the pocket. He was missing throws. Meanwhile, J.J. McCarthy settled down. The run game started to really take over for the Vikings as well.
Yeah, Jordan Mason.
I know
that guy.
I
wow.
Do.
I thought it would be Aaron Jones, and it was the former Niners running back.
But Aaron Jones with that big touchdown catch as we just played for you. You know, the funny part about this is, and I think the getting to the heart of it, is not just a disappointing to drop, you know, your opener against a division rival when it felt like you kind of had him, because McCarthy looked really, really bad through the first three quarters and then great in the fourth quarter. But is this going to work? And this, like, healthy skepticism that I think lives deep down in the heart of every Bears fan. Mm-hmm. Like, is this actually going to work with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson? And is Caleb going to ever realize his full potential in a Bears uniform?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I just think be patient. That's all I got to say. I mean, if there was another situation, if it wasn't Caleb Williams and it wasn't Ben Johnson, the most ballyhooed hire in 10 years, then if it was a normal coach, you'd be like, okay, let's give this a minute. Let's let them learn each other and be patient. And again, we are, and you and I are prey to this just like everyone else. I mean, it is week one.
Yeah.
They played limited preseason. We're going to have to judge it after a month. And listen, yeah, 210 yards and a touchdown. I think that there was enough there to say, okay, I want baby steps out of Caleb Williams. I don't need him to be Patrick Mahomes, the guy he was compared to in college immediately. I get this whole, like, he's supposed to be a generational talent debate that sort of took over the internet. But, hey, can we just get him to be like a B? Would that be possible?
Ask his head coach. I mean, it is, because I think if you want a B from Caleb Williams, then you do things like kick a field goal when it's fourth and three and not ask him to convert down there and be overly aggressive when you're in a dogfight of a game.
Wait, was that 30 seconds left in the game? Was like, no, I can't remember that being a huge...
It was in the second quarter.
Yeah,
but,
so who cares?
Well, because the things should matter, like, because it's a three-point game and it ended up not being a blowout and it ended up being this really tight game where everything gets scrutinized, you know.
I can't wait till Sean McDermott kicks a field goal in fourth and one and you get mad at this.
I get mad at Sean McDermott all the time. Stakes a little bit higher for my Bills than maybe the Bears. But, you know, the 12 penalties for 127 penalty yards, you know, these things have got to get all cleaned up if they're going to actually even get like a B, as you're saying, out of Caleb Williams this year.
Well, I mean, what would you give him last night?
Not a B, like a C minus.
Caleb Williams?
Yeah.
I mean, what about the pressure? Like, did you see it coming at him?
And this is why I also am critical of Ben Johnson, and you're defending him, because when you realize that the momentum's kind of slipping away, right, where after the Justin Jefferson touchdown in the fourth quarter, this is off a missed 50-yard field goal, then the Vikings go down and score with Justin Jefferson, and then you're the Bears, you go three and out.
Yeah,
now you give the ball right back. Like, where if Ben Johnson is like the offensive guru, and like where's a couple easy ones? The next drive, you know, they score a touchdown. You heard the Aaron Jones highlight. Bears take the field. It's five play drive.
That's where you run the ball, and the Bears tried, and they just could not create any holes. And then they couldn't stop the run on the other side of the ball. Is that coaching, or is that just they got beat?
Well, I mean, 11-point lead going into the fourth quarter. I know you don't think that's a big deal. I think you'd be ticked off if that was your Eagles with an 11-point lead and then blowing it at home in the fourth quarter. Like, that's stuff that the coach has to answer for.
I don't know. I think this was also on the players. Like, well, this was not like, again, like, it didn't strike me as a egregious coach. Honestly, I think the better team walked away with it. If Justin Jefferson was healthy from the get-go, I mean, they're the better team. They won 14 games last year. The Bears won, what, 5 games last year? So I think that maybe people once again bought into the Bears hype a little too much. This is a developmental team, and that's how we should view them.
That's totally fine, but they did have a double-digit lead going into the fourth quarter. Like, that's where you actually throw all that preseason junk out the window.
Okay, but they were down 10 points with 5 minutes left in the game. So, you know, that yes, you keep on saying the 11-point, but they lost that lead pretty fast.
Which is definitely a problem. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We're asking you, are you buying or selling your Caleb Williams stock today? Want to quickly get to a question nobody is talking about when it comes to what we saw Sunday night, Pearl, against the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens. A classic game, 41-40 is the final score. And while we were all impressed by what we saw, I think we were all impressed by what we saw from Josh Allen in the comeback with the Bills.
Make me wanna
started talking about this after the show yesterday, and I think it was you who brought up the question.
Well, my question was, has there ever been a Super Bowl winner who let up 40 points in their first game of the season? That I actually asked our crack research team, and it turns out we don't have a crack research team, but it seems like a lot of points to give up for a Super Bowl champion. And, yeah, I mean, if you look at the odds, the Bills are by far the number one team in Super Bowl odds, and the Ravens are by far the number two seed in Super Bowl odds. So I guess Vegas doesn't think it matters.
Yeah. Who was on crack?
Well, it's just funny to think of basically what you're whittling down this question to either of these teams, for as impressive as they both were on offense in that Sunday night game, or do either of these teams have a good enough defense to actually win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, that's my, because obviously they have the quarterbacks. I think yes, they still do, because one thing is, like, the running quarterback screwed up both teams. And, you know, when another team's going to sell out a run there, I mean, Josh Allen ran 14 times and Lamar ran all the time. Like, that is, like, even great defenses fall prey to running quarterbacks. Traditionally in the NFL, eventually those running quarterbacks get hurt, but no longer in the new rule setup. So I think that you could give a pass, because when Josh Allen's going to run it 14 times, there's nothing a defense can do. You just, like, I would, if I was a defense and I was a Ravens, I would start really taking shots at him. I know he got out of bounds a lot, but there's, what are you supposed to do?
So what are you supposed to do?
I mean, and also Allen, by the way, they got to him. He just, like, ignored them, like Big Ben style, and was moving around the pocket.
Around. You know,
like, I would give him pass because both quarterbacks are so ridiculously good.
The part of your question that really rang true to me, and one that kind of made me pause for a minute as obviously the Bills fan on the show, is I don't think that their defense is good enough for them to win a Super Bowl.
I've always thought that,
and I think it this year, and here's a couple reasons why. Number one, last year, the Kansas City Chiefs offense, I know that Kansas City won 15-2 last year, but their offense was, like, not what we were used to seeing, right? Kind of anemic offense for Kansas City.
Yes,
for
definitely.
An Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes outfit, this was not what we were used to seeing. And what happened in the AFC Championship game? 32-29. Kansas City hadn't scored 32 points all year long.
Yep.
And they were able to do that against Buffalo in the AFC Championship game. And then I'm looking around at the NFC in week one, granted, week one. Can we talk about some of the defenses? that the NFC is putting out there? Your Philadelphia Eagles, which I think will get a lot better on defense as the year goes on.
What makes you think that?
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Commanders defense looking good against Manny's New York Giants. Can I offer you the Green Bay Packers? Look at the Vikings last night. How about the Seahawks defense? I don't even know if they're going to be a playoff team.
They're good.
But the Seahawks defense is good. Robert Saleh's back with the 49ers. Yeah. The Rams look like maybe they have the best defense. And even in the AFC, Houston's defense obviously looks great. The Broncos defense looks great. I think the Chiefs defense is going to be very good. The Chargers look like they had the Chiefs on their heels. You know, like, there are a lot of good defenses. And this is what makes me concerned for both Buffalo and for Baltimore, quite frankly. But the one thing about Baltimore is last year their defense started out bad and got better as the season went on.
And then it's like,
maybe they can do that again. But
your question
kind of gave me a little bit of angst because I'm like, damn, Perloff might be right about this. I've always worried about the Bills defense, and I think there's a reason to think that will clearly be the Achilles heel if they don't win the Super Bowl.
Well, Joey Bosa felt like a bit of a desperation move, to be honest.
No kidding.
And he couldn't really stop the run, although he made some plays late in the game. You do have a star, though, and Ed Oliver. He was very disruptive, kind of changed the game. So maybe it's not, I mean, here's the thing, like you mentioned the AFC, like all those offenses are flawed. So I think you and I had this disagreement. I think the NFC is better this year than the AFC. I know the star quarterbacks are in the AFC.
You might be right.
But the Eagles defense is not good. They're working out. I think they called Manny to try and get him in a quarter. They're working out anybody possible. They're a player or two short, and they know it. Howie's been on fire. So I don't think the Eagles defense is going to be great this year. The Rams, you're right. The Rams, there are these elite defenses. But are there offenses that can match Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson? Because I don't think Kansas City, right now, with all those hurt receivers, they definitely can't match them. The Chargers lost their left tackle, so I don't know that they're going to be, you know, you're basically going to have a contrast of styles. You're going to have these superstar quarterbacks against these good defenses. Who do you choose in the end, the quarterback or the defense? I think the quarterback, right?
I don't know if that's true historically. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Would have thought that last year. I mean nobody but Jalen Hurts on the same level as Patrick Mahomes. And what happened? I mean, they got overwhelmed.
Michael Jordan did. Jalen Hurts might be that guy. But I would say Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes have a lot of rings. So the quarterback is a big deal. And we're all just waiting for Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but their teams may not be helping them out enough in terms of defense.
I thought the Ravens' defense just looked bad. What was that game? Sunday night? They just looked really bad. And then Kyle Hamilton is their best player. Is there a single game where he's not going
to
go out hurt ever?
Every single game he goes in and out.
I know he came back with like a huge splint on his finger. He just cannot stay healthy.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We got two things on the table for you. One, are you selling your Caleb Williams stock? And what do you think about Caleb and Ben Johnson as a pair?
After
what you saw last night in the opener against the Vikings. Vikings win 27-24. And do the Ravens and Bills actually not have good enough defenses to truly be Super Bowl contenders? The offenses are, I mean, just fun to watch. Just amazing. But the defense,
looking like the Giants.
Well, the funny thing is the Ravens historically have this great defense. So you almost pencil it in, but they gave up 41 points.
It's true. Have you ever heard of a guy named Ray Lewis? Just found out about him a few days ago.
I was thinking about something Pearl said yesterday because you mentioned, you know, name basically a good defender outside of Kyle Hamilton. And the problem is they actually have a lot of names, but they've not played up to their standard. Like, they just got Jair Alexander. He was horrendous.
The Bills picked on him.
Yeah, I mean, Marlon Humphrey, where was he? Like, these guys that they've picked up that are supposed to be stars, I don't think they've really played up to their name recognition.
Well, there's a reason Jair Alexander was available.
Yeah, evidently.
He's a crazy person. That's more why than his play. Like, he's made some big plays for the Packers.
He looked over. I don't know what was going on. He just was not moving the same way. I mean, yeah. I mean, listen, like, some of their better players are kind of off the garbage heap. Like, not garbage heaps at all. Like, Kyle Van Noy was floating around and was basically retired. And, like, he's a huge part of that defense. I don't think you think there are a lot of big names? Like, look around at some of these elite defenses that Maggie named before. Like, those got like young studs running around. The Ravens feel a little old.
And Roquan Smith was a huge star.
Yeah, I mean, he's the highest paid inside linebacker in the NFL. I don't know. I see guys out there. I'm like, oh, I know these guys, and they're not doing anything. they don't look effective to me.
Jaire Alexander was the one that got his ankle snatched by Keon Coleman at the end of the game, right?
Oof. I mean, how long have the Bills been trying to put together an effective secondary now?
Oh, most of my life.
Since I was in college.
Is it Tre'Davious White back there?
Yeah, but he's hurt.
He's hurt.
Yeah.
Sounds familiar, man.
I mean.
No, they had a seventh round draft pick out there. When the broadcast is talking about when DeMar Hamlin can come back. Listen, we all love DeMar Hamlin, but when he's on the field, that's a liability.
What happened to DeMar?
Well, thankfully, DeMar's still with us. He's an inspiration for all of us, just not when he's playing football.
Why was he not playing football is what I meant. I know what happened to
DeMar. He's hurt. 888-710-4ISN. I don't know, Manny. Sometimes I'm not sure with you. 888-710-4476.
Fair enough.
Quickly, Jay is our pal in Nashville. Jay, you said you went to sleep on this game and you woke up thinking what?
No, I went to sleep saying they're going to lose this game. The Bears are going to lose this game. I was like, this is going to be Ravens part two right here. I went to sleep, woke up, actually happened. You can see it coming a mile away. But first of all, Perloff knows if this was the Eagles, he'd be finding a way to put another Carson Wentz poster back on that wall.
Yeah.
He's an ultimate pessimist. His face is in the dictionary. But I think your option said Caleb's problem, he went to Chicago. All highly sought after quarterbacks. I mean, just like Jay Cutler, who still lives here in Nashville, they don't do good in Chicago. Yep. People that's never been to Chicago don't understand Chicago. The players that do good in Chicago are the ones like the best running back ever. Walter Payton came out of an HBCU. Richard Dent came out of an HBCU here in Nashville, I believe, TSU. It's the players that come out of nowhere that do good in Chicago, because Chicago is such a blue-collar city. Hmm. You know what I mean? Chicago is like blue collar like no other city out there. But
I don't really get it, Jay. Like you're saying, they've been around for over 100 years. Like you've never had a 4,000 yard passer. You're saying it's sort of the style of the city.
It's kind of like look at the pattern. Look at the pattern. Like look at Caleb right now. Look at Jay Cutler. Every time they get this highly thought, even the quarterback coming out of Florida they had for a little bit, he was supposed to be like
Sexy Rexy,
hotty toddy. Yeah, some kind of hotty-toddy quarterback. He didn't really do that good, even though they got to the Super Bowl or whatever. But the thing about it is just Chicago is such a blue-collar freaking city. Is I think the prima donnas that go there are not ready for that blue-collar tough love that they're going to get. I'm sure you can find Jay Cutler, and he'll probably tell you some stories about being in Chicago. My whole family's from there. Believe me, it's just sometimes sometimes a player has to match the vibe of the city. And if you go in there thinking you're going to be a savior, like, dude, you got another thing coming. But I think it still should be a lesson to all these quarterbacks coming out of college that want to be the first pick in the draft and all that. Okay, Mr. First Pick, go ahead. You know what I mean? This is what happens here.
Well, Jay, think about it. I mean, we got some reporting, and nobody has denied that this is true, that Caleb and his father were thinking about trying to get him out of Chicago. They want to be in Minnesota, which is, you know, and then when Caleb took a visit to Chicago, he kind of got sold on the Bears. And Caleb said, in his words, he wasn't ready to blow up the city yet. And I always thought that comment was going to come back to haunt him. But Jay, you might be on to something. Brian Urlacher, right? University of New Mexico was not like
exactly
like this huge, as far as I recall, was his college stardom did not match obviously the heights that he hit in the pros. The other thing though about this though, Jay, is you were reminding me, EJ, what did Kyle Brandt was on with us last week, big Bears fan. And he said something about Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson. I was like, what's the level of optimism? And he was like, very optimistic. But he said he wanted somebody, the coach needed to put him in line. Did he call him an NIL prima donna? What did he call him? Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it was a conversation about what was exciting to him about Ben Johnson was that early in the training camp, we saw videos of Ben Johnson coaching Caleb Williams really hard. And he said, that's right, get at that NIL. You know, I forgot it was prima donna or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Who's been pampered his entire life and been told he's the greatest thing in the world and hasn't really been coached. There is some element to this in terms of Caleb's attitude and his energy that I do think is off-putting to some of Chicago. Whether it matters, I don't know. But I do think it's a factor, clearly, because when Kyle Brandt said that, I was stunned.
I was too, because there's another read on this, which is Caleb had a terrible coaching staff last year. This is their read on it. terrible coaching staff, and still, besides the sacks, which were historic, you know, wasn't that much of an embarrassment in terms of his counting numbers by the end of the season, considering it's a Chicago Bears quarterback.
Well, yeah.
Except and the division was really hard.
I will say one thing about Caleb Williams last night. I know there's a lot of questions out there about his attitude. That dude took some big hits last night. He stood in there and got up. He made one throw that I really respect. It looked like he got concussed, and he somehow hit DJ Moore with a dime 25 yards outfield. So at least you saw toughness. Like, I'm gonna take that as a positive. Like, is prima donna? I get it. It's a nail polish and all that stuff.
Yeah, the GQ spread after, you know.
Yeah,
not a great season.
Yeah, I think that he's 23. He might be a tough kid. Like, even if he is a prima donna, and I totally agree. Like, that Ben Johnson coming out and saying the offense stinks again and again and again
in preseason.
He wasn't lying.
Yeah, it turns out maybe he was just being honest about his team. 888-710-4ISN. Are you selling your Caleb Williams stock, number one? And number two, do the Ravens and Bills not have good enough defenses to win a Super Bowl? Let us know what you think about that. You can jump into the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv.
Crap.
Infinity Sports Network. Coming up, we got a couple things. Maybe worth a bit of an overreaction.
Ugh.
We'll separate fact from fiction next. You guys want to bring up all the times the Bills failed? Yeah, I'm going to think about alcohol.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I am trying to fight the temptation to think that week one is the end all and be all. Felt like an extended preseason around the NFL to me, so I'm trying to be cautious. Maggie, I don't know if you have to play that mental warfare within your brain when you watch week one action.
I don't know. I feel like some things I can believe.
Like Shador Sanders' first preseason game?
That one I maybe bit on a little hard. But no, some of the stuff I think is just an continuation of certain things. Now, EJ's got a couple things we saw in week one. We'll tell you whether this is an overreaction or whether it's fair game. Go ahead, EJ.
All right. So let's begin with one Daniel Jones, who was really good in his game with the Indianapolis Colts. So Daniel Jones, his career is rejuvenated. Overreaction or fair game?
Oh, God.
Fair game.
Oh.
Shane Steichen is the man. The Colts quarterback. Nobody has a quarterback who can escape to the right and throw the ball downfield like a Shane Steichen offense. This is going to be good. We're talking 9-8, 10-7. It's not going to look like it did against Miami, which was so easy to move up and down the field. But I think this is going to be a good fit. And it just reminded us. I think we knew this coming in. It's a no-brainer to go with Daniel Jones over Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I'm really bummed I didn't think of Indiana Jones. Dang, yeah. I heard Berman do that last night. And I was like, darn it, I wish I'd thought that up. This is an overreaction. Miami was no-show. The next three defenses that the Colts are going to play, Denver, Tennessee, who their defense looked good, I thought, and the Rams. Like, that's your next three defenses. That's going to be a much different assignment than whatever Miami was putting out on the field. So this is an overreaction. Don't worry, Manny. Daniel Jones, Indiana Jones will come back to earth. Who's next, DJ?
Good job,
all right, let's stick with the Giants theme a little bit. The Giants scored only 6 points in their first game with Russell Wilson under center. Now is the time to start Jackson Dart. Is that an overreaction or fair game?
No, that's 100% fair game. I was calling for Jackson Dart at halftime, and I wasn't just doing that for clicks. I really believed it. Russell Wilson is not going to be able to give you a lot. Jackson Dart, there's never a perfect time for a rookie to get inserted into the starting role. So sometimes you just have to rip the Band-Aid, Pearl, and I would do that with Dart.
Yummy.
So are they waiting for Andrew Thomas to come back? Isn't that what everybody's saying? The left
then
tackle.
He'll be out in another 5 minutes.
Yeah.
These guys cannot stay healthy.
Thank you, Margaret.
I like this matchup. I thought Dallas's pass rush was so ineffective that it'd be a good start for Jackson Dart. But I get the logic because then they got the Chiefs, who Steve Spagnuolo would be a problem. And then they got the Chargers, whose defense looked pretty nasty too. So maybe I go If you're really trying to save Darnold, I think that's what they're doing. Maybe week five at New Orleans. But I'm doing devil's advocate here. I definitely would have had Darden for week two.
All right. And also, is it time? Well, the Lions, rather, they had a tough week one game against the Packers here.
Yep.
Is time to panic for the Detroit Lions? Is that fair game or an overreaction?
100% fair game. That just the offense, the run game, where did it go? What happened to my guy, Jahmyr Gibbs? I'm in total panic mode about the Lions.
Yeah, I went back and watched that game. I just want to make sure I didn't miss anything yesterday, or Sunday, rather. And it just does not look the same. And you're 100% right. It's about the run. Now, maybe the Green Bay Packers defense is just so lights out that it was a bad litmus test for Detroit. But this just is not having the same magic. And Jared Goff was not the quick acting, quick decision making, and I think it's all because the run game was not effective.
Well, I think also a little complimentary football. You can't let the Packers just easily score on their first two drives. So you're already down two touchdowns, and how you know the Lions like to establish a run, and they were already in a hole. They had to drop back Jared Goff, who then was getting pressured immediately. The whole thing was a mess.
All right, there you go. Some overreactions, some fair game. Andrew Bogish is here with the latest and greatest. What's up, folks?
Guys, the Vikings' fourth quarter rally last night in Chicago began with two touchdown throws from J.J. McCarthy. It ended with J.J.'s legs.
He's at the 14 of the Bears. Thielen in motion. Shotgun snap to the quarterback. He fakes it to run it himself. Over the right tackle, the 10. Got a block at the 5. Sideline, pylon, touchdown! J.J. McCarthy with a touchdown run of 14 yards!
Kevin Harlan on Westwood 1. McCarthy nearly flawless in that fourth quarter. 6 of 8, 101 total yards, and those three scores, turning a 17-6 hole into a 27-24 win in his debut a year after he was drafted. Caleb Williams and the Bear offense started fast but faded, adding only 10 points to an opening drive TD. Williams' final line was 210 yards, one touchdown pass, and another on the ground.
I'm calling both games.
Poor Mike McDaniel, meanwhile, can't get a day closer to death in peace. The morning after a 33-8 dud in Indy, Rex Ryan piled on ESPN.
What the hell is he talking about? You know, maybe he's on a different level, McGenius guy, whatever the hell he is, nerd boy. But anyway, their team has no respect for the coach. They play like that. They're like, come on, man, get us a dang guy in here. Where's the physicality of this team? What did you say?
They're soft.
I'm with you on that.
All right, so if you're scoring at home, Mike McDaniel is too soft, I guess too dumb with the McGenius and Nerd Boy references, and too small to be a good head coach.
Heads are another day closer to death.
Yeah.
He's got a lot working against him.
Yeah.
Can I make a movie analogy for who I see Rex Ryan as?
Let's make sure we play like the New York Jets.
The floor is yours.
He is Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds. Because I feel like he's calling him Nerd Boy.
One or two.
So Ogre eventually joins the Nerds. He joins the beta in two.
Yeah, he does Ogre when they go to Miami for spring break. Guys, look it up.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I don't know. It doesn't hold up well. I don't really want to endorse this film anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But I was wondering, would Rex Ryan eventually become a nerd? No, he is. That was a Nerd Boy. It was such a kind of a bullying statement. Not a surprise from a Ryan brother.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump you. I thought you were going to say Biff from Back to the Future. He's got a lot of Biff in him.
Oh, that's a lot meaner than Ogre.
Well, and McDaniel's like Marty McFly, you know? I don't know if he's friends with a nuclear physicist. As John Mulaney points out, that they never explain how they're friends. Why is a high school senior friends with this disgraced nuclear physicist? We never get that.
Well, why is the Miami Dolphins head coach look like he was just dealing on the South Beach? Like, what is his look? Like, why is he wearing these massive sunglasses and ripping vapes on the sideline and wearing his sort of capri pants? What are those?
Something
doesn't make sense.
Look at Manny.
Yeah, so I actually did a deep dive, which I should have done before. I was like, wow, because there was a controversy last week. We didn't talk a lot about it, but Ryan Clark on ESPN called out our buddy Peter Schrager because he wasn't a player.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, is this Rex calling out Mike McDaniel? But Mike McDaniel was a player.
He played at Yale.
So he didn't really play at Yale. He was on the team.
Well, what are you, Pablo Torre here?
Yeah, I did a Pablo Torre last night.
Investigative?
2 years of JV, and then I don't think he had any really catches. I got to double check that. He wasn't like a big player at Yale.
But if he jersey on the varsity, like that's good enough for me. That means you were good in high school.
Yeah, is that good enough to counter Rex Ryan's nerd boy argument?
Where did Rex play? Northwest, East, South
Southwest
State?
Oklahoma. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I'm like, that was my thought. I was like, is Rex Ryan call out a former Yale wide receiver? Like, which was a better program? But I don't know. McDaniel might have just been
who's
like
who's got more Pulitzer Prize winners.
The fact that McDaniel did 2 years of JV before he made the varsity, I don't think he was the next Ivy League Jerry Rice.
He was a player.
Well, technically, I mean, even Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had to play on the JV. Now
Ishibosh,
the rules.
The guy on the Bengals from Princeton,
right? But he's the next Jerry Rice of the Ivy League.
Ivy League Jerry Rice.
Rice didn't play in the Ivy League, BTW.
This goes to show you, once you lose all the things people loved about you, they start to hate about you.
Yep. Yeah.
Because everybody loved that he looked cool with these glasses, and he was saying this weird stuff, and he looked like a nerd. Like, oh, look at this. And, oh, he's so nice to Tua Tagovailoa.
False.
Now he's nerd boy.
Yep.
Great
yep.
morning.
Let's you jump on the guy when he's losing. Yeah.
Totally. And also, I mean, Rex Ryan, like, he's funny, entertaining dude. He needed a little more nerd and a little less.
yeah,
you
totally.
Know.
I mean,
he
don't need a damn
he put
snack.
His starting quarterback back into a preseason game and he got hurt. Like that should disqualify you from ever criticizing any head coach ever again.
Yeah,
but he's funny on TV.
Wait, Rex Ryan, the Bills head coach?
I don't even want to talk about that. Way to steal from the organization, Coach.
I should add this. Yesterday in Miami, I think the local guys were trying to be a little nicer to McDaniel than Rexy was in the morning, simply asking him for some of the positives from Sunday's loss in Indy. And here's the answer that they got.
I think, to be honest, like, there's...
Oh, boy.
I think the positive is that that was a miserable experience.
Hand to God, that was not edited. That is raw, live.
No,
what he said.
That's AI.
So. No. He said 100. He's messing with the process. He does this all the time.
That is.
Yeah. He thinks these are the dumbest things in the history of the world. What was?
yeah. Well, again, when you're
to
winning,
to be honest, like there's, I think the positive is that that was a miserable experience.
We all know what the positive was. That, yeah, they lost a game, but they are one day closer to death, which was his famous offseason line.
What did Xavier Howard said was now with the Colts, but was with Miami, who said that...
Because we're another day closer to death.
Yeah,
he got
Tua
in a panic mode.
Yeah.
Get it, Tua. Tua's got to throw it quickly.
Yeah, one read. And once you take away his one read, it's panic time.
Yeah, come to think of it, maybe they shouldn't pay that guy. Yeah, because if he stays back there too long, he's going to get hurt.
That was a miserable experience.
Well, listen, if Tua does get hurt, I feel like there's a white knight coming to save this whole situation.
Zach Wilson.
Mr. Zachariah Wilson.
Yes, I was right for once.
Former Jets quarterback. You're going to have one former Jets quarterback winning the MVP in Pittsburgh, another saving the Miami Dolphins.
Comeback player of the year.
Then you have one throwing for 5,000 yards in Las Vegas. I think he's a Geno.
Yeah.
Who else?
Darnold in Seattle.
Darnold.
Yeah, Darnold had a slow start. But Darnold...
Can Ryan Fitzpatrick win an Emmy?
Yeah. Chad Pennington is leading his best life, I'm sure.
Mark Sanchez still around?
Sanchez is good on games. I like him.
He's good.
He's moving up the rankings there. Mm-hmm.
Man, I can't wait for Zach Wilson to start games, and then all of a sudden we go to Mike McDaniel presser, and they sound...
That was a miserable experience.
Bogues, I mean, I don't know how you're going to top that.
Yeah, I'll do a quick check of the AL wildcard race. We all
love
that. That
was a miserable experience.
The Mariners down the Cardinals 4-2, keeping their game-and-a-half lead on the Rangers, who are 6-0 winners over Milwaukee. The Guardians remain 2.5 behind the Mariners for that last spot with their 4th straight win, 10-2 over the Royals. And the Atlanta Dream, an 87-62 beating of the Sun last night. They've won 5 in a row and are once again alone in the 2 seed for the playoffs that begin this weekend. Guys, back to you.
Folks, thanks so much. We got even more updates and more details, if that's even possible, about the Micah Parsons trade. There's even more to the story that you have to know. We'll bring it to you next.
That was a miserable experience.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. you're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Micah Parsons' debut with the Packers looked pretty good. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Even in limited snaps, Perl pressured Jared Goff when they were in the red zone, kind of baited him into an interception, then the big sack at the end of the game. But even beyond that, like went back and looked at it yesterday, there were other times when Micah Parsons, again, 29 snaps only, but was making Jared Goff feel really uncomfortable getting pressure. And by the way, also made a big tackle against Dave Montgomery. And I was like, and there he is against the run. Everyone said Micah Parsons is a sieve against the run. And he has been. I understand that's not his forte.
Micah Parsons.
But it looks like this trade is going to be, at least from the first game, is going to be a big winner here for the Green Bay Packers. Now, we got even more reporting and something that caught your eye that the Philadelphia Eagles called the Dallas Cowboys about Micah Parsons. It's a ballsy thing to do considering you're in the division. But according to Jay Glazer, they offered more than even what Green Bay offered.
Yeah, so I was watching 1250 getting my fantasy football injury updates from Jay. Jay said it was a little vague. He said, same thing as the Packers, 2026 first-round pick, 2027 first-round pick. Then a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick. And then, and I quote, other stuff. So what was the other stuff? Because I got to tell you, Kenny Clark is, there's not that big a difference between a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick and Kenny Clark. Like, Kenny Clark's an effective defensive tackle that they desperately need. I think that's basically the same package to me. Like, what's the big deal?
Well, it depends. I mean, Jerry Jones was very big on the fact that the trade would net you three players, but could be as many as five players.
Yeah, but a third and a fifth. We're talking about Micah Parsons.
I don't know. I mean, fifth round pick is a flyer. Third round, you might be expecting depth pieces there. Yeah. You're expecting, I mean, that's how you build a team, right? Is you hit on some of these later draft picks.
Yeah, but Kenny Clark, we spent a week of Kenny Clark hype. And during the game, they told us that the Lions were more scared, were happier that Kenny Clark wasn't there than Micah Parsons was there. What happened
to
all the Kenny?
How absurd did that sound after they lost the game by three scores?
Yeah, I know, but I bought the Kenny Clark Kool-Aid. Kenny Clark actually didn't even play that well until the end of the game after the rain delay in Dallas. But I think actually the Packers offer is a little better until you define the other things. If Philadelphia was not going to offer anybody to help with the run, then why would they? Why do you want? It's probably going to be the last pick in the third round, the fifth round. I think the Packers offer is a little better, but you're right, though. Like, Howie, like, what did you expect? You think the Cowboys wanted to play Micah twice? I'm surprised the Cowboys even wanted to play him once. Then Jerry said, we tried to trade him for the AFC. There were no offers.
Yeah, which I find hard to believe because it seemed like pretty much you understood now after the
fact
what the going rate was, right? It was two first-round picks and a defensive tackle.
But it was signing that big contract that teams didn't want to do. It was all about the money. Like, for example, your Bills, I'm sure they would want Micah Parsons, but I don't know if they either had the $46 million a year or wanted to invest that.
Are you kidding me?
I'm sure. Why would the Chiefs, why wouldn't all the contenders go in on that? Why would the Chiefs go in on this? I don't know if they have the room.
Yeah, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I'm very curious now. The Green Bay Packers were already very interesting to me. They just got a whole lot more interesting this year because I'm looking at the Detroit Lions, who they just beat. I said three scores, two scores. Detroit scored late. You have the Detroit Lions, who may be, you know, at a bit of a crossroads here because they lost their offensive coordinator, who wasn't fantastic last night with the Bears, and Caleb Williams. They lose to the Vikings. But J.J. McCarthy also for the Vikings looked bad through three quarters, then turned it up in the fourth quarter. And you have the Bears, which is definitely going to be a work in progress. This could be the perfect lane and the perfect avenue for Green Bay if they play this right.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't look like Aiden Hutchinson was back. Aylin McNeil's not back. So Detroit's got still banged up from last year, that crazy rash of defensive injuries. I agree with all that. Not only that, I love some of the other Packers defense players. Edgewood Cooper was the guy I was talking about all last year. He's a stud. I love Quay Walker. I know he's a can be a bonehead at times.
Yep.
But they and then Xavier McKinney is really, he also made a dumb play in that game, but he's really, really good. Sorry, former Giant Manny. But yeah, the Packers are loaded. And by the way, offensively, they're loaded too. Jordan Love looked really, really good.
Yeah, remember the on Thursday, the confidence was really high after the Dallas Cowboys like hung in there with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, Jalen Carter got ejected in the game, obviously, so it changed things. But, you know, EJ, you were the one really pointing out mostly that Dallas just let this slip away. You know, the Eagles served up the game for Dallas on a silver platter. They could not take advantage. They're going to play against Manny's New York Giants this upcoming weekend. I think the positivity could end up really still vibing here. I do not think they made the right decision. They should have absolutely kept Micah Parsons, in my opinion. But it's not going to stop maybe some Dallas positivity if they can really put a thumping on the Giants. Manny's Cowboys.
Wait, I mean, well, like don't discount. There wasn't there, Manny, a Giants game where they came within 28 points of the Cowboys a couple years ago? That was encouraging.
Was it a couple of years ago? It might have been a decade ago.
I mean, if the Cowboys don't win this like 35-0 like they usually do, then it's panic time. or if they, God forbid, if they lose, sell the team, as you said in the offseason. Like, this is a game they don't just win. They blow out the Giants on this spot most times. Dak is a big-time winner in the regular season.
I don't think the Giants have defeated Dak Prescott. I could be wrong about this, but I think the last time the Giants beat Dak was his rookie year.
Yeah.
Dak. No, that when what's-his-face destroyed his leg.
Dak owns the entire NFC.
Yeah, I don't know who it was.
He owns the Eagles. You could see it before the rain delay. He was just ridiculous against the Eagles.
Who was the guy? He went to Rutgers. He ended Tom Brady's Foxborough career with a pick six. He's broadcasting now.
One of the McCourties?
No.
No, he was never a Giant.
The other guy.
Oh,
it's bothering me.
I'll look it up. You keep talking.
Anyway, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710.
Logan Ryan.
Thank you.
Logan Ryan, yes, New Jersey guy.
That's the dude. Interesting, it's just that this, you know, we asked if this Micah Parsons trade is going to be a shadow over the Dallas Cowboys all season long, and I said yes, and I think that if the because the Packers element of this, the aspect of it, and the fact that if the Packers can find a lane here, and if they do look this good, and let's say they are a deep playoff team or a Super Bowl team, I know that Cowboy fans, you'll try to talk yourself into, no, this was the right move for reasons X, Y, and Z. It's just not. And I saw a little
Wait.
Yeah.
Why do you say it's not the right move for the Cowboys?
Because I don't think they're a better football team, and I don't think it's possible to do this half rebuild, half go for it, like pull you in two different directions. I think that's schizophrenic for a football team. I think it sends a wrong message to the locker room. Like I think it makes it too easy for guys to throw and wave the white flag on a season once they hit some adversity.
And what makes you think this is a half rebuild?
Because they wanted draft picks for next year, they could have drafted them. Yeah. They could have traded them before this year's draft and actually got something beyond Kenny Clark.
Yeah, I just feel like this is the kind of move the Cowboys have to make. Like, listen, they weren't going anywhere with Micah Parsons. That's my only point. Like, maybe they win 11 games and get killed in the wild card game. I just don't. I think this could be a win-win trade. I mean, it'll be hard because the draft pick will be so low, but I don't. Do you think that Cowboys were making any noise? Did you predict them to make the playoffs with Micah Parsons or without him?
No, but here's the deal. I saw a lot of this on social media, so this is not my original thought. I'm not going to take credit for it. But watching Derrick Henry just demolish the Bills through 3.5 quarters of that game, one of the reasons why Jerry said they could not sign Derrick Henry was why they needed money for Micah Parsons.
Yeah, but again, sunk costs. I'm not sure it matters. Like, I'm not sure that it's going to be a bad move for the Cowboys. Because what's the scenario? Like, what's going to happen with Micah Parsons there? Are we just going to see them go to the playoffs again and lose? Like, isn't that we've seen it.
Well, but you're also not tanking for a quarterback. Like, this is what I'm talking about, just being in the middle in this weird area. Because you can say, what the hell's the point? They'll make the playoffs. They'll lose to the San Francisco 49ers or Green Bay or whatever you want to say. But then you're not doing the other thing, which would be actually trying to build for the future. Instead, you're paying your quarterback $60 million. You're paying CeeDee Lamb the second highest as a wide receiver.
Yeah, you're desperate to get out of at least a Dak contract. CeeDee, you probably want to keep, but
Dak's contract extension kicks in this year.
I think they have an out next year. I think they're looking at 27.
I thought this was at least 2 years with him, $60 million.
This year and next year, and I think then they have an out.
But so you're paying a quarterback $60 million, yet you're not going for it?
Going like, for what?
Trying to be competitive.
Yeah, you are trying to be competitive, but...
Are you? You could have just let Micah Parsons play out this year, by the way. I don't think he was sitting out the entire season. The two first-round picks would have been there at the end of the year. It's so schizophrenic. Like, it's just bad business.
I mean, listen, they should have definitely traded Mars. I'm not going to lie with you about that. But I don't think Micah Parsons is a huge needle mover for the Cowboys. Because he hasn't been.
Which is funny. Well, but again, look at the advanced metrics. He kind of has been. They're a much better defense with him on the field than him not on the field.
That's so funny. I don't remember. Like, what did he do in the NFC title game?
Oh, I love this, that this has all come down to Micah Parsons. This is only his fault that the Cowboys have underachieved.
You know the Cowboys were not going to win the Super Bowl with Micah Parsons this year. So
they're not winning with Dak Prescott. They got problems all over the place. Micah was one of the, was part of the solution, and they got him out of town.
This might have been the first step in a rebuild, which they need.
888-710-4ISN. Let's go. Coming up next, let's talk Chiefs.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.